So today, for a quick snapshot of where we're headed, we're going to finish up our series of talks we've been doing on the church. Who are we as a church body? What's our DNA as a family? Next week, Paul Cornwell, who is the one leading the Peacemaker Seminar, will also be speaking on Sunday morning. He's planning to talk about forgiveness, what that looks like, and how we can be people who forgive. So that will be next Sunday morning. And then, Lord willing, the following Sunday, we'll jump back into Luke and spend the rest of the year working our way through much of the rest of Luke. So that's our plan. But for today, we're going to talk about mission. So would you take a second and turn to somebody near you and tell them, when you hear the word mission, what's the first thing you think of? And you have to be honest, all right? Go for it right now. You have about 30 seconds. All right. So I heard a lot of laughter. What'd you come up with? What do you think of when you hear the word mission? Military? Tom Cruise? Somebody else? What? Helping others? Purpose? Vandalism? Vandalism! Evangelism, okay. Am I the only one that thinks of bicycles? All right, okay. So, we have lots of connotations to the word mission, don't we? I mean, it carries manifold number of meanings. Today, I want to talk with you about what God says about mission. So, we've spent the last several weeks trying to just in a few words, and you think that may be inaccurate, I've preached a long time some of those weeks, but trying in a few words to say, what are we about? What are we trying to do here? Who are we as Church on Mill? So we started with God. We said that God is really amazing, and we exist to glorify and enjoy Him, and He's worthy of that, and worthy of all worship. And then we said that the gospel is big enough to save anybody. Regardless of how terrible or how good we think we've been, we need God. And God, through Christ, offers us salvation. Last week, we said that the church is a family. And we tried to unpack that in this way. We said that because we're God's people, saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, we do a couple things as brothers and sisters. We choose to live as brothers and sisters. We seek to relate to one another. And I'm not talking about if you've just walked in and this is your first time here, but if this is your church home, we choose fundamentally to look at one another like an extended family, like brothers and sisters who are for one another because God is for us, meaning we want to help each other and grow and invest in each other's lives. Why? With sight set on Christ-likeness for all. One of the passages we looked at, you don't need to turn there, but it's going to serve as a bridge from last week to today into mission, was 1 Peter 2. It says, but you, this is plural, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What's Peter saying? He's saying, because we're sinners, because we're people who have rejected God in favor of going our own way, our natural state is that we're alienated from God, but not just from God, also from each other. Sin creates chaos, not just in our relationship with God, but in our relationship with every single person we'll ever meet. But now, Peter says, as Christians, we're people saved by God for God. That's great news, right? And so the alienation that exists between us and God is solved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's not all the gospel does. It also enables us to relate to each other in healthy ways as brothers and sisters. So we said last week that we have a new identity, that we're not fragmented, alienated, narcissistic, selfish people anymore. To some degree or another, we are collectively growing into this glorious reality that we've been loved and saved by God. And so we're for each other. And so we talked last week about how that relates to the way we relate to one another. And today, we're going to talk about how that relates to those of us who interact with people outside the faith. So how is it that our relationships and the gospel should impact the way we act and the way we treat those outside our church body? That's our topic for today. That's what mission is. So I'm going to ask you to turn to two passages. One of them is found at the end of Matthew. So Matthew 28, Matthew is the first of the gospels in our New Testament. So if you would turn to Matthew 28 with me, that would be fantastic. So when you think of mission, I hope what you'll think of when we're done today is primarily what this passage tells us. So real quick, here's the setting. Jesus has died on the cross, miraculously been resurrected. He's traveled around about 40 days, seen hundreds of people. So no doubt historically that Jesus rose from the dead. He's about to ascend to heaven, so he's about to leave, and he's going to give his parting words, his challenge to his disciples, his people. And that is the mission of the church. So let's read it together in we'll start in verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, just as an aside, this is for free, okay? What in the world does it mean that Jesus says, "I'm with you always," and then he leaves? Is that confusing to anybody? I mean, he says, "I'm going to be with you forever." And then what does he do? He floats up into the sky. Is Jesus schizophrenic? Does he not remember what he says? Is he forgetful? What's going on? Well, in a few weeks is our next First Wednesday, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, and how he can help us in daily life. So that's a little plug for what seems like a confusing end to Matthew. But our topic for today is mission. What is mission? Well, Jesus tells us here what the mission of the church is. And that is to be a disciple-making group of people. The church exists to make disciples who make disciples. Now, that's in the context of what we said the first week, that we're here to glorify God. How do we do that? We do that by making disciples. Well, what's a disciple? That's not a word we use very much today outside of this setting. A disciple is simply someone who's been saved by God, has publicly identified with him through baptism, and is now seeking to live all of life with Jesus as king. So a disciple is somebody saved and has proclaimed that in baptism. If you haven't done that yet, we would love for you to do that. Let us know if you're interested. And then is seeking for the rest of life to learn to live like Jesus calls us to live. But that's not an individualistic thing. That is something we do collectively, and we invite others in. Disciples are not perfect people, right? We're still on a journey. We're still seeking to grow. We're trying to be people who are progressively learning to live out the truth about Jesus. Part of that truth is that Jesus calls us to share that message with others. So what is this mission? What does that look like in terms of what we're trying mainly to say today? We're trying to build on what we've already been talking about. Seeking to demonstrate the reality of the gospel through tangible acts of kindness and through verbally sharing the gospel is normative Christianity. We believe as a church family that it's normal for us to be people who seek to show other people outside our church how great the gospel is by how we treat them and what a great message it is by how we share it with them. That's not the stuff of super Christians. This isn't for religious professionals. It's not just for people that have known God for 30 years. It's for all of us, regardless of where you are on the journey. So the call of the Christian, the call of the church, is to show the truthfulness of the gospel in how we live and to share it with our words. So what is that message that we're seeking to share? Well, that's the other passage I'd love for you to turn with me to, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A very familiar passage if you've spent much time in Scripture when it comes to this topic of mission. So 2 Corinthians 5, what is it that we seek to share with other people? Is it a particular cultural message? Is it that you've got to look a certain way? What is it? What is the message that we're seeking to share? 2 Corinthians 5 tells us very clearly, and that'll be our chief text for the rest of the day. So 2 Corinthians 5, and I'll start in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Meaning, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, if you believe in the gospel, you're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. That's Jesus. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So at the core, fundamentally, when we say our mission is to share the gospel, what is that gospel we're seeking to share? What is the message? It's simply this. Jesus died on the cross as a punishment for sin so that we can be reconciled to God. And all who will turn from their sin and turn to God will find life. That is the gospel message. Fundamentally, basically, that is the greatest news someone could ever hear. Now, if you'd like to take a deeper look into that, listen back on iTunes 2 weeks ago to that message called Gospel. We spent the whole day on that. But notice here in 2 Corinthians 5 that it says that we've been entrusted with the message of reconciliation. Christians, sharing the gospel is not becoming a slimy used car salesman. It's not selling somebody a piece of junk they don't want. It's not seeking to trick someone and manipulate them into something. Rather, it's loving them and sharing with them the greatest news they could ever hear. The aim of evangelism, the aim of mission, is love. It's not power, it's not control, it's love. Notice also in verse 20 that it says that God makes his appeal through us as ambassadors. Now, what's an ambassador? A representative. What else? An extension of something else, of someone else. Anything else? A cheerleader. What do you mean? Okay, so you believe in something, you cheer them on, you root them on. So an ambassador has been given the authority of somebody else in order to speak on their behalf. Now, let that sink in for a moment. God, the God who has always been, has always existed, has no beginning, has no end, is infinitely powerful, could have chosen any way he wanted to share his message, has taken the gospel, the greatest news there is, and entrusted it to you and to me to be his ambassadors, to speak for him. That is mind-boggling, isn't it? Now, this truth of what an ambassador is has been poignantly played out on the news this week. Right? Have you been paying attention to what's going on in the world? So, a U.S. ambassador in Libya was killed. Why was he killed? Now, let's avoid a big political argument, all right? Fundamentally, why was he killed? Well, the people that killed him viewed him as a representative, as an extension of America, right? So, There's no question in the world that people get what this is. They get what an ambassador is. But my question for you is, do you understand that? Do you understand, if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, that when you speak on behalf of God? That when you share the gospel, when you invest in the lives of people, that's not just you. That's God at work. It's incredibly powerful. Now, here's where this gets complicated, though. What if people don't want us to be their ambassadors? What if people don't want us to share the message with them? What if we seem to be carrying something nobody's looking to buy? What do we do then? How does that flesh itself out? Well, we live in a society that no longer believes in absolute standard, a place where literally everything is thought to be relative. And the gospel message in that kind of environment is inherently radically offensive because it says that's not true. There is truth and you're not in charge. Now, of course, you don't want to say it that way. You want to love and graciously share and be kind and generous and compassionate. But the message in and of itself is offensive. People you will meet literally every day have no clue that they're alienated from God. So they don't want what you have, right? So what do we do? How do we share in an environment like that? Well, the rest of this morning, I want to try to answer that question. How do we live as a church? How do we live as gospel people with a message that we know God has commanded us to share, but yet many people don't seem to want to hear? Well, we try to think about that as Church on Mill in three ways. We try to impact lives of people through three different kinds of ministry, three different ways of approaching this. And I want to talk through each of them, but here's what they are. First, we want to live each day as missionaries. We want to be people who think like missionaries. I'll explain that in a moment. Second, we want to demonstrate the truthfulness of the gospel through community. So we want to demonstrate the fact that the gospel isn't just words, that it's the power of God for salvation, so much so that it affects how we treat each other. And then third, we want to share the gospel message in relevant, winsome, wise ways. So those are the three ways we want to try to impact people that don't seem to want to hear what we have to say. So first, let's go back to the first one. Church on Mill, we want to be people who live as missionaries in daily life. Now, what's a missionary? Missionaries are simply people who live among a people they want to reach. They don't function from a stance of superiority above others. Instead, they come alongside them. Missionaries are students of the people and cultures they're seeking to reach. They need to understand the culture of the people they're trying to reach better than the people in it, maybe. So, when you think about the culture that we're in, what are some of the dominant struggles that people have? Where do hearts ache? Where is life breaking apart? What do you think? I'm not talking about you, unless you just want to be a brave soul and say it. But our dominant culture at large, where are the struggles that people are having? Marriage. Finances. What? Meaning? Purpose? Family? Acceptance? Sexuality? This side of the room, you stink. Everybody's owning you over here. The smart side? The left-brained people? I'm teasing. Don't be offended. That was a joke. All right? So, one of the things we want to do as people, as a group, a Church on Mill family, is understand, where are people's hearts breaking around us? Where are the struggles? How does the gospel message pertain, speak into the questions that people are having? How are you going to know that unless you're with people? It's not going to happen. You've got to invest in relationships and live among the people. We've got to know what they think, feel what they feel, in order to relate a timeless message to them in a timely way. That's what missionaries do. Now, for example, I said earlier that our dominant culture's view of truth is that there isn't truth, is that absolute truth doesn't exist. Most people we meet today will believe that. Everything is relative. Now, on the surface, that sounds hip and sexy, right? It sounds inviting. It sounds helpful. It sounds like, well, we can all just get along if we all say it's fine that we don't get along. You have your truth, I have my truth. But if we're going to be missionaries in this setting, we have to understand that that perspective arises from a worldview that's incredibly flawed. Because saying there isn't any absolute truth is what? It literally fails from the get-go. But the problem is, every single one of us in this room have been enormously impacted by that view because we live in it. It influences the way we think. So just one example of how we want to be missionaries is we want to understand, how does that thinking impact us? We're not above it, we're in it. And then how can we relate to people in a way that thinks that way? So a church of missionaries takes the humble position of trying to understand culture, trying to understand people and relate to them in winsome ways. Now, who's our ultimate model for that? It's Jesus. A safe answer in this room is Jesus, all right? So, Jesus did that perfectly. He did it better than anybody else that's ever lived. He came and lived among a people, became one of them, served them. He didn't lose his holiness. He didn't lose his sinlessness. He served them in a loving, winsome way, even in the middle of a culture that was far from him. That's what we want to seek to do. So, for most of us, honestly, this isn't so much about adding a whole bunch of new stuff to your life. It's about learning how to do what you're already doing, but doing it with gospel intentionality. Relating to people at work, in your neighborhood, in your dorm room, in your apartment complex, in your classroom, in a way that's loving and caring and inviting, and as a missionary would, seeking to care for people in the real stuff of life. So that's the first way we want to approach this. And we want to have a simple structure here that frees you up to do that and doesn't have us all involved in an infinite number of things within these walls. And we're gradually trying to seek to do that. Second, we want to be a group of people that demonstrate the truthfulness of the gospel through gospel community. Now, what do I mean by that? Friends, in a culture like ours, many times people are going to need to see with their eyes that there is something to what we believe before they'll hear it with their ears. Many times they need to see the reality that this is truth played out in the way we relate to each other before they're going to listen to what we'll have to say. So one enormously powerful effect of the gospel is what it does to us as we relate to each other. And Jesus said it would be this way. John 13:34, he said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also are to love one another. By this all people will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." So what's a chief way the gospel message, the truthfulness of Jesus, gets played out? It's by how we relate to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. He said something very similar in a prayer before he was arrested. John 17, "I do not ask for these only, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us." Why? "So that the world may believe that you sent me." Jesus stakes the credibility of his mission on our unity. Unity matters in an enormous way. So we have to live as brothers and sisters in such a way that the truthfulness of Jesus Christ is being played out in how we relate to one another. Our relationships are a great proof of the fact that the gospel is true. So we want to not isolate ourselves from the world, but be friends, be brothers and sisters out in a public way such that people can see that and be invited into our community. So a real practical way we're seeking to do that is through our gospel communities, our groups that gather collectively for Bible study, prayer, care, relationships, and all have a purpose, a group of people they're seeking to minister to beyond them. If you want information about those, jump on the website. You can see where they are. Our hope is that that will spread and that all of us eventually will be involved in a group seeking to do just this, seeking to win people over to the gospel message through, in part, the way that we relate to one another. So how do we want to serve people that maybe don't want to listen to us? Well, not by beating them over the head with a Bible, but first, by having a posture of being missionaries to them. Second, by being deeply invested as brothers and sisters together. And finally, we want to share the gospel. We want to live as missionaries in community, ultimately working for the opportunity to share the gospel with people. Now, it's incredibly common today to think of evangelism as something you can do without words. So, share the gospel and if necessary, use words. You've probably heard that. That's a pile of dog dookie, all right? That is impossible. You cannot share the gospel without words. The gospel is words. It is a gospel message. It is good news. So you can't share the gospel without sharing the gospel. That's deep, huh? No words, no gospel message. It's just that simple. Now, some of us, personality style, we get that. And we tend to be brazen, confrontive, outgoing kind of people. And so sharing the gospel comes easy to some of us, right? So you don't really have any trouble going in a room, meeting somebody, and going from hi to, you need Jesus, really fast. There's not a lot of us, but there are some. My 8-year-old daughter is one of those people. She uses the word missionary as a verb. She'll come home from school and she'll say, Dad, I'm missionaried so-and-so today. And we've had to help throttle her back because we've gotten emails and phone calls from the school, literally. So she's had to learn and grow in the truth of the fact that part of being a missionary is the way you treat people on the playground. You go and engage the kid that's being picked on. You help the person that's sitting over in the corner by themselves. That's earning, building an opportunity to share the gospel with them, right? So for her, that's the area she needs to grow in. And she's an amazing example to me of the area I'm weaker in. And that's going through the front door and sharing the message. A lot of us, that would be true. It's easier for us not to share. But the fact is, you are an ambassador. God has put it in you to have a witness, to be somebody that shares the truth. Now, how you do that is enormously important. And I don't have much time to do this today, but real briefly, we talked multiple times here about the creation, fall, redemption, restoration storyline of the Bible. We believe that's the true story of everything, that there was a God who created everything that there is. He made everything good originally. Nothing was broken. And then sin entered the world. A fall occurred. We rebelled against God. And so now, everything even that's good and wonderful has a broken side to it. And so there is a need to be connected, reconnected to God and to each other. How does that happen? That happens through the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, and his sacrifice was acceptable to God, and so God raised him from the dead. And if you'll believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And one day, he will return as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to repair, restore, fix everything. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. That is the dominant storyline of the Bible. And because it's the dominant storyline of everything, it's the dominant storyline that's played out on every human heart. It just happens to be a broken story if it's not connected to God. And so, how do you share the gospel with people? Well, we do a whole training here on this using that story, but real briefly, how do you share the gospel? Well, as you listen to people, as you grow in relationship to them, as you get to know them, you'll find that they have some story of where they've come from, some version of what's made them who they are, why they're significant. They also have some sense of what's broken, some sense of this didn't go the way I thought it was supposed to go. That's often your entry point into being able to share the good news. because they have a fallen, broken sense of being made to put back together. So they look to work or school or relationships or sex or money, something to fix that sense that life isn't the way it's supposed to be. And yet all of those things will eventually fail. So how do we share the gospel with people? Well, listen for that story and seek to share the truth into that story. When you leave today, we're going to give you a magnet that looks like this, that has those four icons on it, and hopefully that will help you to remember the story and to be able to think in terms of how can I impact people and share this. So who are we, Church on Mill? We've spent 4 weeks trying to answer that question. We're a group that believes in a really amazing, glorious God. We're a group that believes in a glorious gospel that's for Christians and non-Christians. We believe that we're family, brothers and sisters, and we believe we have a gospel to share, a message to share. And that's shared as we live as missionaries, it's shared as we relate to one another, and it's shared ultimately as we share it with words. So if you're here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus, you can do that. It's right where you are. Turn from sin, turn to Him. And I want to thank you for the honor of being able to be a part of this family and for the fact that God's doing amazing things here as we're growing in all four of these areas. And the sky's the limit, right? There's really wonderful days ahead for us as a church family as we seek to live this out.